Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got 24 and a half more minutes of just, I don't know what to say, just banner analysis of world events and issues going on in our country.
Top notch.
Right up there.
Yeah.
Top notch. Ed, and we're not trying to brag.
We're not.
But if you know, if you can do it, it ain't
just
bragging.
We're just,
you know,
speaking facts.
Like Muhammad Ali, you know?
That's right. We float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
Tim, Ed, and now Steve Paisley, Jordahl.
And it's about to get better.
There you go.
Steve's about to bring it. Steve, we have the World Cup.
Yeah.
Is going on in the United States.
Yeah.
And
By the way, President Trump was talking about that this morning, and he said, it's because of me. I brought the World Cup here. It's my doing.
He actually did.
Oh, he did.
He did this way back in 2016 or something.
It was. But he made lobbying. Sure everybody knew it this afternoon, this morning, when he was talking. Anyway, yes, so, Tim, the World Cup is going on. I just upset my boss.
I'm just taken aback that Trump would brag about anything.
I know.
He's such a humble man.
It is odd.
So, all right. So, and he may be right. I don't know.
He may be right. Yeah.
So, is he going to ensure that the U.S. wins?
He's doing his best. He's doing everything he can to ensure that the U.S. wins. I don't know if
all
that'll.
Right. So, I would guess most of our listeners are not and have not been paying attention to the World Cup.
And frankly, I haven't a whole lot either.
I haven't either. I haven't either because I don't follow.
I've been deep into it.
I don't follow. There's only so much stuff you can put in your head, right?
That's right.
So, but now you're talking about you're getting down to of all the countries in the world, now you're narrowing the field to is it going to move from
16 to 8?
16 to 8 by the end of what, tomorrow?
U.S. and Belgium play probably a couple other games.
Okay, so
maybe today.
So the U.S. is does not have a good history.
They're winning
in the World Cup.
They've never come close.
Okay, never come. But now they're within. If they beat Belgium today, they move on to the round of eight. Right.
Whatever
That's
they
correct.
Play, yes.
Okay.
They would move on to
so,
the round of eight.
So President Trump. There was a controversy because one of America's star players got suspended for the game against Belgium today. But now, for a violation on the field, for those who understand soccer, he got a red card, which means he did something so egregious, like a personal foul in football or basketball, and he got tossed out of the game. That's basically what happened. Am I right?
Yes.
Like targeting.
He got tossed out of the game, and the penalty
but now he's
normally.
But now he's been reinstated, and President Trump did make a phone call to the person who decides this, right?
President Trump said he spoke with the FIFA chief, Infantino, and asked that be reviewed, the red card against this soccer player. His name is Florian Balogun.
Balogun.
The FIFA chief said, okay, we'll review it. And they reviewed it, and they made a ruling that said, oh, yeah, that was a bad red card, so Balogun can't play. Well, then Belgium gets involved. Belgium is the team that the United States is playing tonight. And Belgium said, wait a minute, if there's a chance that we can play this team without their star player, we'd like that to happen. So they're appealing the decision, and they're asking, they're saying that the review of the red card wasn't done right, and they want him re-banned from the game.
Steve, have you reviewed this video footage of the red card?
I have seen the footage of the red card.
Where do you come down, Steve?
Oh, it's clearly a bad call.
Okay, clearly a bad call.
It was clearly a bad call, although like most calls in sports, you just generally can't go back after the after the event and correct it.
By the way, today at 2 o'clock is Portugal and Spain. The U.S. and Belgium play tonight at 7. And then Norway and England have already advanced, as have France and Morocco. And then tomorrow, two more games, Argentina and Egypt, and Switzerland and Colombia.
Switzerland, I thought they were neutral.
Not in soccer.
No.
Oh, they want to win?
Very much.
And Norway has this 6'5".
Talk about this guy. This guy's he's going viral, isn't he? What's his name?
It's Haaland. Erling Haaland.
And he's like a Viking?
He looks like a Viking. He's tall, blonde, long hair. He has scored 56 goals in 51 games. He's got 7 goals, I think, in this tournament. Adam Suddeth, our producer today, mentioned that there's only 2 other players in the tournament who have got 7 goals. And he is just a force of nature.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of videos because his celebrations are very unique. And so there's people imitating this guy. There's a song out. Listen, over the weekend, I was watching some of these videos, and usually it's Norwegians. Over here in the United States, people will tell them, do the Haaland, and there's a song for this guy, and they all do this walk. It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
I am very proud right now of my Norwegian heritage. Jordal is a Norwegian name. It is.
It really is. So you're pulling for Norway.
Well, yeah, until they play the U.S.
Well, you know what's amazing to me is, again, these tiny countries, relatively speaking, like Norway. Norway is 5 million people. Okay, 5.5 million people.
That's the population of Norway?
Yeah, it's about like the size of Atlanta, maybe.
Oh my goodness, wow.
And they're taking on Brazil, one of the preeminent soccer powers in the world. They got 220 million people live in Brazil. So you got your tiny little, and yet they beat them.
They beat them.
They beat
them. This guy Haaland scored 2 goals in a 2-1 victory over Brazil, who I'm sure was favored to win.
Yeah.
Brazil.
I don't know what they're paying Haaland. Is that his name?
Haaland.
But he's probably going to cash in after this thing's over with and go international with his stardom.
Steve said, what did you say in our story meeting that he said when this is done, he's going to just go to farming?
I didn't say that. That was me.
Adam.
That was Adam
said that.
Yeah, we'll see about that one. That sounds so nice until somebody's going to throw some bucks at that dude.
Oh, they'd be foolish not to. He's become like an international phenomenon.
Yeah. Like a Norse god.
He does look like a Viking, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues. We'll see what happens today with the Americans versus the Belgium. The boys from Belgium.
The boys are back in town.
The boys are back in town. And I don't know. Who does Norway advance to play? They play in England?
They play England.
Because England knocked off Mexico.
They play England. That must have been an upset. I don't know. England's pretty good with soccer. That's July 11th. So that's that next round gets started in, you know, 4 or 5 days.
All right, Steve, next story.
All right. So in Iran right now, they have started on July 4th a multi-day funeral for former Iranian President Ayatollah Ali Khamenei.
Well, they take their sweet time, don't they?
Well, yes.
When was he knocked off?
He was in February. This is one of the first strikes during this war. Remember how we took out the first level of leadership, and then we found out when the second level was meeting, we took them out?
Is this normal in that culture to wait 6 months to have a funeral?
I think the start date, July 4th, was not a coincidence.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how normal it is. I think there are, in a normal individual death, I think Islamic law requires you bury them that night, because I don't think embalming.
So he was not buried.
I don't. Well, they're having.
Listen, I don't mean to sound disgusting.
I don't know if his body is there or not, but they're having the celebration of his life or whatever memorial.
That's what I'm saying. Supposedly he was blown up.
Yeah,
right?
He probably would.
Yeah,
left.
Yeah, so this may be like you said. Maybe it's on July 4th to.
I have a feeling they want to
poke America in the eye.
And they're getting
what is the point of that?
What's that?
Is that some kind of a cheap shot they're taking at the U.S.?
That would be a yes.
I know, but We bombed the leader. We killed their leader.
Right.
And they're going to say, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to bury him on your Independence Day. How do you like that?
Yeah. I don't know
the point of that. Anyway,
well,
I'm sorry.
Hundreds of thousands or maybe millions of mourners have gathered probably under duress because they're not.
Under what?
Duress.
You mean they're paid mourners?
Pressured. Let's just say mourners. They were pressured.
You better get out there and mourn.
This was the theocracy that shot tens of thousands of their protesters in the streets. So I don't think that there's millions of people who feel that bad, but they are out in line, and there's a whole lot of people celebrating or remembering Khamenei. Among them is an American by the name of Calla Walsh, who was a former staffer of Elizabeth Warren. Okay. And she's a Democrat socialist all in on how she hates the United States and how loves Iran. And
was she over there?
She was over there. And wouldn't you know that Iran stuck a camera in front of her face to see what she had to say. And this is what she had to say. Cut 13.
All people of the world who struggle against imperialism, against arrogance, against Zionism, against genocide. To me, he was the greatest anti-imperialist leader to have lived during my lifetime.
And this is the former staff. What was her position with Senator Warren?
Elizabeth Warren,
she
staff
was
member.
A staff member. I don't staff know what she member. Did for her. Wasn't. Yeah.
So she's a fan of Khamenei.
Yeah, the Iranian.
And that he was, he battled against imperialism.
Oh, he was, and that, boy, her hero.
Yeah. And
anti-Semitic.
Anti-Semitic. And it just makes you wonder, I almost say this tongue-in-cheek, makes you wonder, does Senator Elizabeth Warren not know that her staffer was a hater of
staffer.
Israel?
Oh yeah, I don't think they care.
That's what I'm asking.
Knows.
I'm asking if there was always sympathy amongst some of these Democrats, because I don't think Elizabeth Warren would come out as an anti-Semitic
right.
person.
Oh,
but,
no.
But she would have someone who's had to have been openly anti-Semitic on her staff.
Those people like that right there are so ridiculous because they don't talk anything about the negatives of a totalitarian Islamic state. Why don't you talk about that? If you're going to criticize Zionism and genocide and all those things, then let's talk about I was put a microphone in front of her face. What do you say about the Islamic dictatorship here in Iran butchering tens of thousands of their own people? How do you respond to that?
Yeah.
Is that what about the fact that you know they don't allow LGBTQ at all?
They throw them off the roof.
Yeah, what about that? How would you respond to that?
Well, how they oppress women?
Right,
you're a woman.
Well, that's right. I ask her about that. Why? What do you think about having to wear a veil?
Yeah.
Or what do you call that?
The burqa.
The burqa and the. What do you think about having to do that as a woman? Maybe they ask her about that, but I doubt it. It's just we're in Iran criticizing the United States, and she was criticizing Israel too.
Yeah.
Next story.
Well,
my blood pressure is up.
Well, I'm going to keep raising it. We just had our 4th of July, our 250th anniversary, and someone put together a little composition, a montage of our Democrat liberal friends and what they think of how this country was built. And I want you to hear from AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Congresswoman from New York. Jasmine Crockett is the second voice you're going to hear.
Yeah.
And Ilhan Omar, you're going to hear then. And then Premier Jayapal.
This is an all-star lineup.
These are all squad members.
Loony lefties. Yep.
And then finally you're going to hear Boston Mayor Michelle Wu.
Oh, yeah.
And this is what they have to say about the history of the United States. Cut 15.
Black Americans really created democracy in
this
country.
Right. That's exactly right.
How they literally made something from nothing.
That was AOC.
This 4th of July, I say celebrate a black woman that you know, because whether it's an invention that she made or whether it's the very democracy that still hangs by a thread right now, there is a black woman to thank.
Jasmine Crockett.
Somalis have always seen as a fabric, has seen themselves as a fabric of this nation.
Ilhan Omar.
That immigrants from all over the world, Somalia, India, wherever they're from, Latin America, Africa, that immigrants have built this country.
Pramila Jayapal.
You cannot talk about any achievement that the city of Boston has had in safety, jobs, and economic development, in education, without talking about the Somali community.
And that was Michelle Wu.
She's a Boston mayor?
Yeah.
No Somalis.
In Boston?
In Boston till...
what is she talking about?
Maybe Obama. There might have been a few here and there, but...
What is the obsession these people have
with race?
Race and ethnicity. It's like every conversation they have is something about that.
Well, these people that we just heard from are delusional. Historically delusional. Okay? Listen... obviously, slavery was wrong, okay? Imperialism, both slavery and imperialism are facts of human nature. They're not just facts about white people or Western Europeans. These are facts of human nature. They are facts of history. These kinds of issues have always existed. And so, too, all five of these, what they were doing is saying... White people didn't do anything, and it was all people of color who made this country. I am not denying that people of color have contributed to our country. I am denying that Somalians had anything to do with it. That's an absurdity. So that's part of the beauty of this country is that people from all backgrounds have contributed. But if you're going to argue that white people did nothing in this country and that it was all Somalians— You are playing on, you are hoping that the fact that our young people have been miseducated in grammar school, middle school, and high school, and many colleges, and hoping they buy this, it is just absolutely absurd on its face. I'm like you, Tim, why do these people always want to talk about race and ethnicity? Why don't you just say, listen... It's a great country.
To celebrate America.
Everyone contributed, including white people. That's the part they can't seem to get out of there.
It's a unifying day. July 4th was supposed to be a unifying day. Go ahead.
The Democrat Party, and especially the Democrat Socialists, their stock and trade is oppressor oppressed.
Right.
And everything has to be seen.
It never changes. Their story never changes.
Anger. They're trying to play on. They foment the anger and then they try to leverage it.
I tell you what, too, is extremely disappointing to me in taking a look at their points of view. The fact that we coaxed all these Somalis to come into a systemically racist country, which is
jokes on them, huh?
And they come here only to learn that they don't want to that they should be better off back in Somalia. So I don't know. Why did we bring them here?
Well,
against their will.
You said this morning, and I told you should say, but you're too modest to bring this up because this was absolutely a great point.
Yeah.
If these people we just heard from, okay, AOC, Ilhan Omar, all of these, okay, Jasmine Crockett, geniuses like that, okay, if they're saying that people of color made this country. And yet this country is a racist, imperialist country, then it's the fault of people of color because they created America.
That's right.
You said that this morning. I said, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
If they're responsible for America and America's racist and imperialist, guess who we can blame? It wasn't the white people because we didn't have a hand in the making the pie.
Bingo.
You bingoed this morning.
Well, I did bingo. Well, listen. In all seriousness, the way that the left-wing people want to continuously try to divide Americans, you know, by pitting one against another and continuously blaming, basically they want to blame white people of European descent for all the problems in America.
Right.
And it's just, that's not... That's not helpful. That's not that. All it does is foment the people who are already, I guess, predisposed to be racist against one group or another to continue in that instead of working together.
That's what they want.
Yeah.
That's the feature, not the bug.
Yeah, yeah. That's a good song title right there, Steve.
Yeah, I think it would be.
It's a feature, not a bug. Did you ever thought about that as a song title, maybe? Or
it's a
band?
Feature, not a bug.
Yeah. All right. I think Vanilla Ice, that was his. Master Ice Baby, if you go to the flip side of that record.
It's a feature, not a bug.
It's a feature, not a bug, but nobody ever plays that.
Who remembers it?
Yeah. Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. You know, I mean, to say something to close out that. The gospel of Jesus Christ, which we proclaim here in various and sundry ways, teaches that your ethnicity, your race, doesn't matter. It doesn't.
At the foot of the cross, you are up, right?
It doesn't matter. So, skin color... Jesus said, go and preach the gospel all over the world to everybody.
Yeah.
He didn't say, you can stop over there at, that border because we don't want those people to know about it.
Right.
So what I'm saying is that these people that try to divide us by ethnicity and race are going against the teaching of Christianity.
Right.
Would that be fair?
Absolutely. That is absolutely true.
And it doesn't matter whether that comes from somebody on the far right or the far left.
And it doesn't matter what your skin color is when you're preaching it or when you're teaching the Word of God. This is part of the glorious nature of the kingdom of God and the beauty of the gospel.
Right.
Is that all are welcome. And the people who traffic in division.
Right.
And in pitting one group against the other, are going to have to answer to God just as much as actual racists will.
Mm-hmm.
There, I said it.
You said, all right, Steve, we got about 2 minutes left.
I want to introduce you to an archivist from the UK. His name is Michael Skurr, and he was doing some research on an 18th century Royal Navy captain and this ship. And he was going through this captain's books and his documents, and he looked in and he found a previously undiscovered original copy of the Declaration of Independence. It's called an Exeter copy, and there were thought to be only 10 of them that existed. Now there are 11. He just kind of stumbled upon it. The 11th is now in England among this 18th century Royal Navy captain's effects that was being studied. That's kind of cool.
And this is something that Nicolas Cage knew nothing about, right?
I don't think he did. I think this was.
He
might be on his way right now. I don't know. I haven't checked to see where he's at. But.
This is actually a pretty cool story.
Yeah.
That while you're looking through the belongings of a captain, looking through his Pokemon card collection or what
The Dalton was the ship.
The Dalton. He found a copy of the Declaration of Independence. So this was... The Exeter Declaration, I did a little quick search on this, refers to a rare 1776 broadside printing of the U.S. Declaration of Independence. It was produced between July 16 and 19 in Exeter, New Hampshire. And there's only 11 known surviving copies of this specific printing.
Yep. It's kind of except for the one that's in the archives in D.C., it's the original copies.
Right.
Closest.
That's a very cool story.
Yeah,
absolutely. Good to end on a positive story, Steve.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for joining us, everybody, on this Monday. We appreciate Ed, Steve, Fred, and everybody else here. Adam, Cole. Who else contributed to this here show? I think our listeners did. I want to thank our listeners.
Thank you, listeners.
See you tomorrow, everybody.